following a brief illness. He was 62. Grincey served as Stuyvesant Town Supervisor for 12 years and as chairman of the County Republican Party. He owned Mark's Pizza in Valencia and was also employed by the Capital Region Off-Track Betting in Schenectady, where he was Vice President of Corporate Operations. Grincey was a lifelong member of the Stuyvesant Falls Fire Department. He was eulogized by County Clerk Holly Tanner and Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell. On July 25th, the former chair of the Columbia County Democrats, Cynthia J. Hall, passed away at her home under hospice care. Hall was 72. Born in Lowell, Massachusetts and raised in Glen Falls, Hall taught music in the Hudson City School District for 37 years, where she also served as vice president of the Hudson Teachers Association and as chair of the Professional Standards Committee. In addition to her role as chair of the County Democrats, Hall was a representative of the New York State Democratic Committee and worked on the campaigns of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Dee Dee Barrett. A memorial for Hall will be held at Bates and Anderson Redmond and Keeler Funeral Home on August the 4th. Editor's note, Tanner is an active WGXC volunteer programmer. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. Attorney General Barbara D. Underwood announced July 27th the creation of a statewide police camera program. The Capture and Account of Material Situation, or CAMS program, will designate $2 million seized in joint federal-state organized crimes prosecutions to fund body-worn cameras at local law enforcement agencies. Underwood said in the statement, and I quote, "Body cameras help ensure increased accountability and transparency during law enforcement interactions. Yet too often, local police departments don't have the resources to buy them," end quote. To be eligible for funds, law enforcement agencies must have between 100 and 3,000 sworn officers, be a local town, city, or county police agency, and be able to secure a cash match covering 25% of the total amount to be spent. Online applications are due by September the 7th. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Report. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today, with a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. The temperature high for today will be 82 degrees for Monday night. A slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 63. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, with a temperature high near 84 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm, with a temperature high near 84 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low around 69. Sunrise today was at 5:44 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:17 p.m. That will give us 14 hours and 32 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 6 seconds less than yesterday. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Report. For local news, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming, WGXC, 90.7 FM. Grabbable, handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Another stomach turns. Yeah, you get a burn. song I hate. It's the song I hate. A sea hat and squirt. A year and infinite jerk. A year fascist twerk. It's the song I hate. Black attack and fire. It's the song I hate. It's the song I hate. War pig fuck. His shit is out of luck. It's the song I hate. It's the song I hate. Another Nazi attack. The skinhead is cracked. My blood is black. It's the song I hate. It's the song I hate. We're banging pots and pans to make you understand. We're gonna bury you, man. It's the song I hate. It's the song I hate. Now I'm a human wreck, a redneck in check. I killed a teacher's cat. It's the song I hate.
Coming up next from our friends at WOOCLP, our partner station up in Troy, they did an interview with Nick Vanderkolk from the Love and Radio radio show about radio. But first, this next track is When Radios Sleep, What Dreams May Come, from renowned radio artist Anna Frith and Delaware County farmer and radio artist Tiana Kennedy.
Thank you. Nick Vanderkoek, the producer of the podcast Love and Radio, visited the Uptown Summer Youth employees at the Sanctuary for Independent Media and discussed podcasting techniques as the youth prepare to create audio stories of their own.
It's worked out for me pretty well, but like I kind of did everything opposite like how you should.
I kind of grew up listening to a lot of sort of public radio.
One thing that they teach you in that kind of genre is that radio is a didactic medium. It's not enough to sort of present a story. You have to sort of like explain what it means, and you have to sort of explain everything. And that's a totally legit way of going about things. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I love that operates that way, but I personally always found that quite limited. And so even though the show has like evolved a lot over the last 13 years, it's always had that DNA in it of like, I didn't want to tell people like what they were supposed to feel and what they were supposed to think. And so that's why there's very little of me in it. Why you're just hearing this voice and people kind of have to piece it together kind of on their own, which I think can make for like a more powerful storytelling experience, for lack of a better term.
Do you think that radio has become less critical of itself? Radio or podcasts, they've become more narrative, more linear kind of storytelling. So do you think that it's, I mean, obviously it's changing.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm pretty mixed on it. I mean, I think in some ways, when I was starting out, there was like so little competition out there. And you would think with more shows, there's going to be like more diversity of approaches. But I think also, because there's money in there now, people want to do the thing that is definitely going to succeed. And they do end up sounding pretty similar. There are a lot of, especially in podcasting, there are a lot of shows that are just much easier to produce, mm-hmm. that are like kind of chat-based, and it's like people sitting in a room. And those require some work and thought to make still good, but it's much easier to get like advertisers for that. It's much easier to pitch that to like a network. I tend to record for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then that gets edited down. So I'd say each episode typically takes about a month of work.
How do you prep people for telling their story, and do you like ask them questions while they're doing it? Or?
Typically, and this is just sort of how, this wasn't necessarily intentional, but you tend to hear a lot more questions as the story goes on, because it's also just like, There's a certain style in sort of radio documentary, for lack of a better term, where you completely cut out the interviewer and it's just sort of this monologue. And I personally like to be reminded that there is someone else in the room that's asking questions, so that you have to have like a little bit of skepticism, I think. So I don't prep people other than to sort of describe the process and describe the show. And say, you know, this is all pre-recorded, so, like, if you want to back up and go again, that's totally cool. And then we just kind of wing it. And then you just have to sort of respect their space and kind of let them sort of take the lead on sort of what they're comfortable with, you know. I don't get to do face-to-face interviews all that much these days, but it's also quite... It's, like, relatively easy, too. Like, now you can kind of interview people from wherever. And there's lots of great tools where they can kind of mic themselves as well. Like, now we have advertisers. We have some resources, so we can usually get, like, an engineer to go and record the person in person. And so I'll interview them over the phone, or a producer of mine will interview them over the phone, and someone else will be in the room with them recording them. And then we combine the tape together, so it basically sounds like they're in the same room. That's called a tape sync. In general, I do two-hour interviews. The first one tends to have very little structure to it, where I'm really just kind of like just following my own curiosity about the person and just having a discussion around it. The second interview, at that point, I have a better understanding of like what the shape of the story ought to be. so the second interview tends to be much more directed, just sort of like kind of the skeleton of the story. And then based on those two things, then we begin the process of editing, and in the process of editing, we tend to notice, well, there's this, like, actually, this is this question that, like, I actually hadn't really considered now that I'm, like, listening to him tell the story again. So let's go back and we'll ask him that. Or he didn't tell this thing. He told this one story in a slightly confusing way. Maybe we can have him retell that piece. So then we do a third follow-up interview, and that one tends to be a bit shorter because we know sort of like, okay, we want to get this, this, and this, and then hopefully, like, we have everything that we need from that.
So one thing I heard that is very cool, is that you, as a radio artist and a storyteller, are using some other audio tracks to emotionally carry the story on. Could you talk about that a little?
We use music. There's a lot of kind of subtle stuff going on. We actually, like, we run the voice through filters, so we're just sort of creating that space. We're just, like, very focused on the audio and also just sort of how the audio interacts. If it is a piece that has, like, kind of rich audio elements, to begin with, I will be collecting the sounds in the moment. In terms of finding the subjects, it's, well, as the show has become more popular, we have relied more and more on kind of outside pitches, so, like, listeners will write in with ideas for stories, or radio freelancers who will pitch stuff to us. But before that, it really was kind of all over the shop. I mean, sometimes it was just, like, stories that, like, a friend would tell me, you know, oh, my neighbor, you know, down the block, like, he's a survivalist or whatever. I didn't actually do that story, but I don't know. But someone was telling me about that the other day. Sometimes it's, because we have this, like, slightly strange format, it's also very, very helpful for doing stuff that has been in the news to some degree. So, for instance, I did a story about a guy who was in his 20s, and his wife died of cancer. And before she had died, she had written out sort of like her life goals, and he had committed his life to finishing out her life goals. So, and a lot of it was, like, quite ambitious. It was like, get a PhD, run a half marathon, take a train across Canada. And he had been on a couple, like, TV shows, but just, like, these very quick little four-minute segments where it was like, oh, here's this guy doing this crazy thing. You know, tell us a couple of things about it. Okay, cool, bye. And I knew there was, like, more of a long-form story there. Things about it. Okay, cool, bye. And I knew there was, like, more of a long-form story there. And I think he was, like, quite grateful to actually, like, take the time. Most of the people that I talk to are really happy with how things turn out, because I really give them the space and the time to talk things through in a way that you don't get in media generally. I'm sure we've all seen at some point some sort of, like, very combative interview between, like, a host and a guest. Maybe the guest is doing something wrong or whatever, but, like, then they serve no purpose other than to show that the host is, like, somehow morally superior, and I'm not interested in that, you know. If there is someone who's sort of, like, morally dodgy who I have on the show, I don't have them on the show so I can harangue them. I still want to understand that. Be out in the world and just, like, meeting random weirdos.
And open to serendipity.
And open to serendipity, yeah. I mean, especially in this day and age, like, everything is, like, on the internet. And so it's very easy to have these, like, curated experiences in your lives. And sometimes it's nice to just, like, throw out the phone and just go for a walk and, like, see what the hell you happen upon, you know. The stories that I go after tend to be the ones where I don't know how I feel about them myself, you know. I don't go in with an agenda. And that often makes the best pieces, when it's like, when your mind changes over the course of working on it, that's a sign that you're onto something really good.
That was Nick Vanderkoek, producer of the podcast Love and Radio.
I'm Tom Rowe, and you're listening to the radio.
You take the ability to talk for granted, don't you? Then why shouldn't you? You talk every day of your life and you don't think much about it. But did you realize that millions of people suffer from voice problems? These millions can't take talking for granted. For them, to talk is a struggle.
Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Mind? Do you have a voice like...
As in,
do you have a voice like...
Is he?
Do you have a voice like... Mine? Do you have a voice like... Do you want a voice like mine? Do you want a voice like... Mine? Do you want a voice like...
Is he?
Do you want... Do you want a voice like... With a voice like mine, what would you want a voice like? Do you want a voice? Do you want a voice like? What would you do with a voice like? What would you do? How would you survive? Would you seize me? Would you hide? Would you seize power? Would you dissect it? Ingest it? Roll it around on your tongue? And then what? And then what? And then what? Would it give you pleasure? Would it get you in? Would it take you away? Gently? With a light touch? Take it out. Take it away. Take it... How can you take it out, take it away, take it gently, with a light, roll it around on your pleasure, and then what, 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 and then what?
Sang the best she'd ever sang. She could never sing any better. But Mr. Davidson never rang. She knew he would forget her. She'd seen him there and put herself to ransom. He had stared. He really was quite handsome. Had really looked her best. She could never look any better. But she knew she'd failed the test. She knew he would forget her.
Triumphant
was the way she felt as she acknowledged the applause.
Triumphant
was the way she felt when she saw him at the dressing room door. She was happier than she'd ever been as he praised her for her grace. But his expression changed, she had seen, as he leant to kiss her face. It ended there. He cried. Quickly turned to hide her disappointment. She ripped her glittering gown, couldn't face another show, no. Her deodorant had let her down. She should have used powder, oh no.
Successful sound of wonderful Radio London.
Radio London.
Espers with Cruel Storm. Before that, from The Who's Sell Out, and Gregory Whitehead. You're listening to the radio. Stay tuned to the radio.
Jesus, and away you, oh, wonderful. screaming next to O.P., who was beaming. Honk was thumping, suddenly it won't hurt, and then they got into something. Oscar played a mean sax, Mr. Byers blew a mean axe. Honk was thumping, suddenly it won't hurt, and then the joint started jumping. Every stud really the birds in the town. Taking that note, nobody wrote, putting it down. O.P., he was screaming next to Dizzy, who was beaming, mom was thumping, early and woke, and then they got into something.
You're tuned into Thelonious Monk. In walked Bud. Before that, we heard Sun Ra and his orchestra with Where Pathways Meet, and Cat Power's 2018 Wanderer got things started.
O.P., blew a mean axe, Mr. Byers, blew a mean sax, Monk was thumping, suddenly his walk broke, and then they got into something. Every hip stood, really dug butts and lit tongue. Finding that note, nobody wrote, putting it down. Dizzy, he was screaming next to O.P., who was beaming, Monk was thumping, suddenly his walk broke, and then they got into something.
You are listening to the WGXC Acra 90.7 on your FM dial and your and WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
Gonna get some records. Gonna get some records. Gonna get some records for my baby.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me. Won't you please?
WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get involved and sell records, CDs, or more at WGXC's Record Fair, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400. That's recordfair@wgxc.org. You can also make a donation to WGXC of old records, tapes, or other media. Again, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400 to help with the WGXC Record Fair.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM. Listener-supported radio.
By nature, most of us DJs find our comfort in like old record stores and thrift stores and stuff. And we're always kind of looking back into the past and then trying to reinvent, you know, some of the greatness of the past and put it in a new context. So just by nature, you know, I want to hear old shows and I want to hear what this show sounded like 20 years ago. And I want to hear what they were playing and I want to discover new old music, right?
This is Radio Survivor. My name is Eric Klein. Today, we're talking about The Eclipse Show. It airs on community radio station KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, and The Eclipse Show is celebrating 40 years on the air continuously, making it quite possibly the longest-running hip-hop radio show in the world. My co-host and I, Jennifer Waits, we've been examining the role that community and college radio has played in the development of hip-hop culture, especially in the 80s and 90s. And today, we bring you an interview with DJ AL of The Eclipse Show, who, through a series of remarkable coincidences, as well as following his passion, has found himself contributing to and helping to preserve the history of this multi-generational creative project, the likes of which are only possible on the sorts of community radio stations we here at Radio Survivor love to celebrate. Let's begin with the clip that DJ AL shared with us for this episode of Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder being interviewed on The Eclipse Show sometime around 1981.
I hope that we take advantage of this great opportunity that we have and that we do not make for a world of devastation that is very possible to be, that we do not fall into the arms of those that would like for us to believe that hatred and those negative things are the way we should go. And I think it's all, as communicators of radio and music, press, whatever, business people, clergymen, we all really have that responsibility, whether we're reaching a couple of people or 100 people, 1,000 people, millions of people. It's really our responsibility and we cannot shove it.
That's Stevie Wonder in studio at KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, being interviewed on The Eclipse Show, which has been airing continuously for 4 decades every Sunday night. Now, my co-host, Jennifer Waits.
We're here on the line today with DJ AL, Aaron Ladley, out of KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. And Aaron, we're reaching out to you because we heard that you might possibly be at one of the oldest hip-hop radio shows in the country. So Eric Klein and I we wanted to bring you on to Radio Survivor to get to the bottom of this fascinating show, The Eclipse Show at KGNU. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
And does the Eclipse Show begin when KGNU begins in the late 70s, or does it come on a little later than that?
Yes, that's correct. So KGNU started in 1978 out of Boulder, Colorado. It's now in Boulder and Denver as well. And the Eclipse Show was started with the inception of the radio station.
So all the way back to 1978.
That's correct, yep.
Wow. And do you know, it's interesting, you sent us some archives of the show, and we got turned on to it when we were talking to Ryan McMichael from the Hip Hop Radio Archive. So he revealed to us that this might be the longest running hip hop radio show. And, you know, from listening to some of the recordings, it sounds like the show, you know, may not have been described as a hip hop show in the very beginning. Can you take us back to what that early show, how it was conceived, and the types of music and content that were on the Eclipse Show in 1978?
Yeah, and tell us about the people that were the DJs of that show.
Sure. So the show started as basically like an alternative radio show that served